Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the Friday show. Oh, yesterday was, no, never mind, yesterday was Thursday, right? Obviously. So, welcome to the show. Hope everybody's doing well. Have a great weekend planned. Going to have some fun. That's what life is all about, isn't it? Just enjoying life, living it to the full, living it to the maximum, and however you do it. I was telling somebody the other day that I think I'd rather burn out than rust out. Now, not that I don't want to live a long time, but, you know, you want to go out having fun. You want to go out enjoying life, having adventures. So I'm going to take your calls. We're going to talk about what's going on with you, what your questions are, what you want Spirit to answer for you. Now, remember, I'm going to try to see if we can talk to some dead people, relatives, friends, family members, famous people that might have an answer for you. And what's going on. Also, we may look at your past lives and see how that affects you now, if at all. Okay, or maybe somebody's in your life now that was from a past life, then in your roles back then. One of the things I am is a claircognizance, and claircognizance means I just know things about people, and I read people, and I read by hearing your voice. I read a little bit more about you and what's going on, and so. When Spirit gives me an answer to your question, like when's this going to happen, or if that's going to happen, or what about this person, part of it is yes or yeah, it's going to happen. Usually, if you're asking about something you want, the universe is going to give it to you. Now, sometimes we'll give you a time frame. But the other part of it is reading you to see, when is that, you know, are you in alignment? Because yesterday's show, I talked a lot about being in alignment. Are you in alignment with source energy, God, and to make these happen? You have to be in alignment. So, but we're not going to talk about alignment today. That's not where I was going with today's show. As I wrote up about today's show, it was really about passion. It was really about focus. And what kicked me into thinking about passion, focus, and all of these things was – well, I watched a video yesterday, a YouTube video, and I watched these people perform what you would call rather mundane jobs. But they did it with such passion and such talent. I mean, that people watch them and they video them, and they're amazed by how that they can – well, let me give you an example. I remember that there's a Pizza Hut commercial with the guy that folds the pizza boxes. I mean, the man became famous folding pizza boxes because he focused on it. He intensely focused on doing this and being the best at focusing that folding pizza boxes. There was another person who was cutting watermelon, and just grace and skill and artistic flair of cutting watermelon. And you're going, whoa. I mean, it took time to learn to do that. But you can imagine the focus and intensity that's involved in that. So the question I ask myself, and I would ask you, in the job or life or things that you do, are you giving 80% or are you giving 100% to everything you do? If something's important to you, your job, your family, activities, your hobbies, are you putting 100% of your passion into it? Or do you, like I know I do at times, get distracted when you're only putting 80%? If you're cutting watermelon or slicing and dicing things, giving 80% to it, you could lose a finger or tips of a finger. You could lose something. So you have to be totally focused. And I was thinking about this. I watched a movie a while back called The Chef, and it was a gentleman, I always forget the actor's name, and he's also a director and producer, where he buys in the movie a food truck, you know, one of those famous food trucks that, you know, all kinds of fun food and interesting food. And the technical advisor in the movie was a gentleman who is probably well known as the Koji, one of the most famous food trucks in Los Angeles. It's a Korean barbecue taco kind of food truck, and it's been written up. And the gentleman who's the chef, and I guess he works at other restaurants too, But in the movie, at the very end of the movie, in the little trailer at the end of the movie, they're giving you a little bit of a demonstration on the technical end of cooking. And he was making a grilled cheese sandwich. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal. Everybody's made grilled cheese sandwiches from time to time, right? But it wasn't the fact that it was the fact that there was such an intensity. There was such a focus. Like he was getting really, really close to the grilled cheese sandwiches. And the thing that lifted it up, the little spatula, he would lift it up carefully and check the underneath. He was like so focused on that grilled cheese sandwich to make it perfect, absolutely perfect. There was no distractions in this man about making a grilled cheese sandwich. And you can see where that carries forward. Now he has one of the most famous food trucks in Los Angeles because of the intensity of doing that, the focus on it, the passion that goes in. So my question, and I thought about that for myself, I thought, am I really putting my passion into this radio show? Am I letting things distract me from getting ready for it or the other things I do, my clients? So it really is about focusing. What I was also reminded of many years ago, I read an article about a gentleman who was a taxi driver in New York, who owned his own taxi, of course. And he was the most famous taxi driver in New York. And why? Because his details that he was involved in, he had the cleanest taxi. He kept his taxi immaculate. He put his all focus on making this the most cleanest taxi in New York on the inside. Also, every day he would put a newspaper in the back seat and he would push flowers in the taxi. The taxi would smell good. So people wanted his taxi, and he did really, really financially well because he put his passion into that. Now, you could have the most mundane job in the world. You could be a janitor, which just sounds mundane. But if you're into the craft of being a janitor, and if you're into the details and the passion and the focus on doing a great janitorial job, people are going to appreciate that. People are going to appreciate that completely. And I was talking to one of my regular callers, and he was okay with his job, and he wanted to do better. But I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but are you giving your 100% to what you're doing? Are you really giving 100% to what you're doing? Are you perfecting the craft? Like a janitor, are you perfecting your craft as a janitor? Are you looking for new ways to clean or polish floors or do windows? Are you always learning more about your craft, even if it's a janitor, even if it's a taxi driver? Or I'm thinking of like the chef. Are you trying to improve how you cook your food to make it more delectable, desirable, but also do it in a way that you're pouring a lot of love. Now, that's the key word here, isn't it? Pouring so much love into anything you do. My mother used to tell me, and my mother didn't tell me a lot of great things, but what she did tell me was, everything you do, make it play. So enjoy it. Have fun with it. Whatever you're doing, if it's washing windows, if it's whatever it is, make it fun. Make it play. Put 100% of yourself into it. Don't be an 80% person. Whatever it is. And if you can do those with the mundane things in life, if you can do that with making your bed, for example. Ooh, that's a good one, huh? Because some people, if you can do 100%, if you can do it just so it looks good every day, right? That carries forward into the rest of your life. That carries forward into your occupation. That carries forward into your hobbies. You're putting your passion into it. You're putting 100% of you into whatever you do. Now, you can get burned out after a while, I guess, but you got to take a break. You can put 100% into walking in nature, right? Just being focused in nature, being walking in nature and just absorbing it and not letting the world distract you. Okay, so I have some articles that are related to that. Let me give you an Abraham quote and another quote, which I get from values.com. And then we'll talk a little bit more about, and I have some articles. One is one I think I really want to cover, 5 suggestions for cultivating self-love. Now, that'll tie in really pretty close to what I've been talking about. Another one is seven signs you're in a bad company, which is kind of the opposite. You know, those are the distractions. The bad company are the distractions from putting you 100% into whatever you're doing. And then the other one is how to be kind to yourself. Ooh, that's good, huh? So those are some articles I'll get into. I'll give you an Abraham quote. But let me give you this quote from values.com. I get these every day. Terrence Tempest Williams. I don't know Terry Tempest Williams. I have no idea who this is. I would imagine it's a gentleman. Isn't woman usually Terry with an I and this is with a Y? Okay. Wilderness reminds us what it means to be human, what we are connected to rather than what we are separate from. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read that again. That's just a beautiful statement of being in nature, being part of just something, you know, something beyond ourselves. Wilderness reminds us what it means to be human, what we are connected to rather than what we are separate from. Being in that oneness with nature, being connected to nature. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful thought. Think about that. Next time you go for a walk in a park or in nature or wilderness area, think about the connectivity that you have with everything around you. You know, they have a picture of a beautiful tree and the stars at night. When you look up at the stars at night, do you feel that connectivity with all? Do you feel separate, or do you feel that you're part of all this, that you're one with all of this? Do you feel passionate about it? Okay, so that's my quote. I'm checking back to see if anybody's calling in. Nope. Okay, no callers yet. But I'm really kind of into this today, and I'm emphasizing this idea that are you giving 100%? In everything you do. Now, I know that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to give 100%, but things are important to you. Are you giving 100%? Are you allowing things to be distracting you? And I should have this article on what distracts us, but we know what distracts us, right? Don't we normally know what distracts us? The cell phones distract us. The nagging people that are trying to talk to us in our ears distract us. The problems in the world distract us. Now, isn't that a big distraction? Listening to the problems in the world instead of just focusing on who you are and what you're passionate about and what you love in your lives and the positive things. But one of the articles I have gets into a little bit on that. So I won't steal the thunder from that too much. Okay, so let me get into the Abraham quote because it's appropriate to this, and I'll show you what I mean by why it's appropriate to this. It's from San Francisco. These are all taken from workshops that they gave. You know, if you've ever been to an Abraham workshop, it's usually a one-day workshop. They've changed the format. It used to be morning and afternoon, but now they have morning and it extends out, and then they have a lunch, and then you get to go home. The older ones were morning and afternoon, but it's a pretty full day of Abraham and Abraham speaking to everyone and then having people come up and ask questions. So that's if you can watch them on YouTube, you can see some of the Abraham workshops, the cruises that they go on. It's pretty much the same format. Okay, back to this. This is from March 8th, 2014. Fear itself is not the impediment to your joyful life. But fear is pointing at the impediment to your joyful life. And just as the feeling of fear is within you, the impediment is within you also. Now, I was thinking about that. Now, I would ask those who are listening now, what would be an impediment? What would be one thing that's an impediment that fear kicks in, that keeps you from being in that feeling from a joyful life? Fear of what? Fear of being alone, maybe? Fear of not being good enough? Lots of fears. Fear of being different? Fear of not having something in your life? Money, relationships? Whatever you're fearful of is holding you back from yesterday's discussion, from alignment, being in align with. So fear is the impediment. Fear is an indicator that you have something, a resistance within you And it's generally an attitude. It's a belief more than anything. So like you're writing money, but it's a belief about money. It's not money. Money itself is not an impediment. The lack of money is an attitude. Okay, but that's still a belief. We're back to belief again. The impediments have to do with beliefs. The belief is I won't have enough money. The belief is I'll never get enough money. The belief is money is hard to come by. The belief is I don't have the ability to get money. The belief is whatever the belief is the real impediment. So we're back to beliefs again. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to overcome a belief because they've been kind of in an, we've carried them around most of our lives ever since we're about born. Ever since we're a small child, these beliefs are drowned into us that this is my belief, this is my belief, this is my belief. From your parents, your siblings, your teachers, and you gain a belief about money or relationships or self-esteem. So you create resistance from beliefs. So the idea is here, how do you overcome your beliefs? Well, first of all, you have to identify it. What is your belief? And one of the articles I'm going to get into is about self-love. And I thought self-love might help a little bit on this idea of beliefs. You know, people that join me later in the show, kind of, what is he talking about? Well, I'm talking basically about a quote from Abraham material about impediments. But also I'm talking about, are you giving 100% of yourself in life? Are you doing 80%? And I use the example and I went, oh, so they left. Okay. So, but I'm giving readings too. So you want to call in for a reading. If you want to know what Spirit has to say about your life, please call in. Okay. Questions. If you want to talk to an ancestor or somebody who's died, maybe they have something for you. We'll do that. But this is really a lesson about, are we giving 100%? So, I'm going to get into the article. These are all from BeliefNet.com, and I use BeliefNet a lot because they have a lot of great articles. If you haven't looked them up, BeliefNet.com, www.beliefnet.com, and there's different sections. The section I'm under is wellness, and there's home and family, inspiration, faith and prayer. I would say they lean towards the Christian, but they also introduce a lot of articles on crystals too. So it's not just strictly a Christian-based articles. Okay, so they even have a Spanish version. Da-da! If you want to read it in Spanish. I'm going to practice your Spanish if you don't speak Spanish already. Okay, 5 suggestions for cultivating self-love. And let's go through these. Self-love can seem unattainable. It might be because, in part, self-love sounds abstract and ambiguous. To be clear, self-love is both an attitude and an act. I like that, an attitude and an act. It's how you view yourself and how you view your life. Now, a lot of that is go back to this belief idea that a lot of this would come from your beliefs. How you view yourself is your beliefs, right? We use that word a lot here. Self-love is about turning your needs and honoring your body and boundaries and taking care of yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Self-love is a daily practice, not a destination. So you can show yourself some love every day. There are 5 ways to practice and cultivate self-love. Now, you may have more yourself, or I could throw some stuff in there. Margarita Toranowski is she is associate editor at Psychic Channel and authors the Body Image blog Wellness, and she has a Master's of Science. She's a therapist, basically. Okay, so let's get into these. Let's see if we can look at these and go, yeah, that's a good idea, bad idea. I read them and I thought they were pretty good ideas. So, okay, get to know yourself. Ooh, wow, that's a good one, isn't it? Get to know yourself. How can you love yourself if you don't know yourself, right? Especially if you want to love yourself and you don't know what to love. What's so good about you? Okay, before you can honor your needs, dreams, and wishes, you need to know what they actually look like. Spend some alone time. Take out your journal. Ask yourself the following questions. View this exercise as a coffee date with an acquaintance you'd like to get to know better, or a heart-to-heart with a close friend. This close friend is yourself in this case, right? So you're going to get to know yourself a little better. Let me go through the questions. I'll give you some time if you want to write these down. Or, you know what, I'm going to post this on Facebook, and so you can read this for yourself later. And so you can answer that. You can do this if it'll go there. Hopefully it's going to go there. And there we go. So I will post it on Facebook, and you can read this for yourself. And okay, so here's the questions. I'll let you think about these as we go through them. I'll go through them slow. What are your favorite foods? Now, that seems simple enough, right? But think about it for a while. What are your favorite foods? What kind of meals make you feel nourished and energized? Simple, right? Okay. What physical activities make you feel alive? Ooh. What activities spark your creativity? Now, these are interesting. Think about that. What activities spark your creativity? You know, sometimes you don't think about it, and you think, What activities in my life spark my creativity? And think about that for a moment. And we'll get into some other ones, but I just want you to think about what activities creates, and try to push yourself a little bit on this too. Not just like, oh yeah, I do this and this is it, right? So let me move on to the next one. Okay, so what's the next one? Okay, what are your passions? That's a good question. And you really need to soul search that a little bit. What are your passions in life? But, you know, think about your passions. What are your passions? Not who, but what. You know, there's not a who there. It's a what. Okay, what are the happiest parts of your life? So this is like looking back at your life and saying, okay, when was I really happy? When did I feel really good? What was I doing? Where was I at when I was feeling really good in my life? Those are good questions. What about my life felt really good? Okay, what parts are the most stressful? Ooh, yeah, that's kind of the other end of the stick, isn't it? What parts are the most stressful? But if you know that, you can deal with it, right? What would I do if money and time weren't an issue? That's a big question. That's a really good question. What would you do if money and time weren't an issue? And then it brings out of you who you are and what you want to do and a little bit more about you. And how do you love to spend your days? Sleeping, right? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, sleeping. Laying in bed to about 3. Oh, you know, that to me, that feels kind of yucky to think about it that way. But okay, I'm going to check back with you guys, see what things going on. Any questions? Anybody want to talk about anything? We'll get more into the article. Next one is surround yourself with supportive people. Ooh, self-love. What does that got to do with it, right? Self-love. So surrounding yourself – okay, so let's get into that one. Let's get into the next one. Ta-da! Okay, the people you surround yourself with play an important role in your life, in your happiness and health. They can contribute to the joy in your life or they can steal it. Ooh. Isn't that interesting? They can contribute to the joy in your life, or they can steal it. Now, people ask me, you know, I meet people, and they say they want to meet somebody, or they think some person's going to make them happy. A person's going to make them happy, and I always talk to people about, no, you basically are happy. Your core nature is happy, but these people can steal your happiness, right? They can intensify your stress or they can help you shrink it. I like that. They can intensify your stress or they can shrink it. They make your life easier. How do they make your life easier? How do they make it more comfortable? self-love includes surrounding yourself with people you trust who have your heart in mind. Isn't that beautiful? Self-love includes surrounding yourself with people you trust who have your heart in mind. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Who are the people in your life that support you? And emotionally, financially, all these other things. Who are the people in your life that support you, that believe in you? That's a big one. Who believes in you? And I would say, if you don't have these people, you need to ask the universe for more of these people, right? You need to ask the universe for more of these people. You need to be open to these kind of people. Who are the people that don't? Who don't support you? Really? And who's really there for you? Who are really there for you? Who's always too busy? Ooh, that's a good one. You try to call somebody. Oh, no, I got a million things going on. You want to go to lunch today? No, I can't do that, right? No, always too busy. Ooh. So those aren't supportive people. They're always too busy for you. That they're not spontaneous enough to go, hey, what's going on? Can I help you? Let's go out. Let's do something, right? Now, if you're with me at Facebook, I just posted this whole article on Facebook, so you can read it yourself and go over it. So you're writing this down, but go to Facebook. If you're with me, if you haven't joined me on Facebook, please do. You know, ask me to be a friend. I will do that. Hopefully I haven't run out of friends yet. I mean, the number that I can get. You know, they have a limit on the number of friends you can have in Facebook, which is kind of like, well, okay. And for me, having friends is people I can share this sort of thing with. You know, I can share articles, share quotes, share thoughts that I get from Spirit. And that's why I'm on Facebook. For large part is I love to share information, and I get to reach out to people that I've known many years ago. I'm going to go have coffee with a friend from high school. And I haven't seen him. Actually, he went to the other high school. But we're going to go meet because from the city of Fullerton. And it's been a long time. Yeah, he was a famous athlete. I have another good friend who, from high school, is not doing so well, so I have to send him love. Yeah, my friend. Okay, so back to where we're at. Yes. Practice self-compassion. Isn't that a beautiful thought, self-compassion? We're taught to be compassionate towards others and our family and our friends. But what about ourselves? How many people criticizing themselves? For many people, criticizing themselves comes naturally. Being kind, not so much. You're much better at supporting someone else than ourselves, especially if we make a mistake, missed a deadline, or said the wrong thing. But self-criticism only makes things worse. Studies have found a connection between self-criticism and low self-esteem, anxiety, and depression. Ooh, and that's kind of yucky, isn't it? Really, self-criticism. On the other hand, self-compassion is associated with a greater well-being, including more effective coping and less depression and anxiety. According to researcher and professor Christine Knapp, who studies self-compassion at the University of Texas at Austin, self-compassion consists of three parts. Self-kindness, which includes being nice to yourself rather than condemning yourself or letting your inner critic run wild. Boy, you were a jerk today. Boy, you were really stupid today, right? Yeah, self-criticism. Boy, you just kind of blew it, right? Common humanity, the realization you're not alone in your struggles. Yeah, they were all human. We all make mistakes. Oh, well. Okay, moving right on. You're right here. I learned my lesson. I'm moving on. Because everyone struggles in mindfulness. And mindfulness, which involves noticing the present moment without judgment or criticism. So the next time you want to flog yourself, instead extend some self-compassion. Ask yourself, how would you treat a friend who's just experienced the same thing? What would you say? What would you not say? Yeah, you got a friend who made a mistake. Well, you jerk. You shouldn't be doing that. Would you say that to your friends? Yes. Well, maybe that's not the thing to do. But would you say that to yourself? What would you say to yourself? what do you say to your friend? Oh, I know you made a mistake. You'll do better next time. You'll improve on it. It's not a big deal. If you say that to somebody else, why not say that to yourself, right? If you'd say that to somebody else, why not say that to yourself? And how would you support them? Would you take them to lunch, buy them some coffee, do something nice, buy them some flowers? Well, why not do that the same thing for yourself? Buy yourself some flowers. Take yourself to lunch. Treat yourself. Buy that hot fudge sundae that you've been thinking about for a while that you haven't done for yourself. You know, that brownie. Okay. Treat yourself. Go on that roller coaster ride that you've always wanted to go on if that's your thing, right? Go take that walk in the park that you've been putting off, okay? Things like that. Go down to the beach and stand on the pier and watch the ocean for a while. Do nice things for yourself. Okay, the next one. I keep checking back with you guys, see if there's any questions. Anybody's calling in. I'm not neglecting you, but we'll keep going. I think this is beautiful stuff. I don't know if I'm going to get to the other articles, but I'm having fun with this one. And we'll see how much time I have left after this one, too. I'd rather take your calls, but that's okay. This is beautiful material. It's about self-love. Set and sustain your boundaries. Ooh, do you have boundaries? Some people don't, do they? Boundaries are an essential part of having a healthy relationship with others and yourself. In order to set your boundaries, figure out your limits. What is appropriate behavior for you and others? What is inappropriate or unacceptable? What would you allow people to say to you? What would you allow people to ask you to do, right? What are your boundaries about what you would ask? How much time are you going to give to people? What are you willing to say yes to? What is a definite no? Can you say, learn to practice say no? You know, we get guilty. Well, no, I can't say no. How would you like to be supported? How would you like others to behave towards you? To sustain your boundaries, communicate your needs directly. Don't expect others to know. I'm sorry, I can't do that today. I've really got things I have to finish, right? Or, you know what, I don't think I'm really qualified to do that for you. Perhaps you need to find someone else who's a little better at that. I don't think it's going to be of highest benefit for me to do that for you. Things like that. Saying no, but give a reason why no. You know, just no. You know, it's like, you know, as a father or parent, it's like no. But you have to give a reason even to a child. No. You know, today is not the day to do that, right? I have a deadline. I got to finish my taxes. You know, no, I got to finish my taxes. No. And let people know they've crossed a boundary. Ooh, that's a good one. Wow. They've crossed a boundary. I was thinking, too, about boundaries, how people, you know, you ever get people that when your space, they get into your space, you'll be talking to somebody and they'll get really close to you and you go like, oh, wait a minute, you're in my space, you're in my bubble. So maybe that's a good boundary place of, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with you standing so close to me. Can you do that? Can you protect yourself from that encroachment, that energy that somebody would give you? Preserve, especially if they're angry at you, they get right up to you, you know. No, excuse me, you know, you're in my space here. I'm not comfortable with this. Can you back off a little bit, right? Preserving your boundaries isn't easy, but it's important for respecting and honoring yourself. Those boundary issues. Somebody gets angry at you. Do you have set a boundary of how much you're going to take? And you say, no, that's enough. You know, we need to do a timeout here. I'm not going to listen to you today. You know, you've disrespected me. Okay. Or I'm trying to stay in a very positive place and your energy is very negative and I would prefer that you don't encroach on my positive space. I know it's a little tricky to say to someone, but think about it. How many people cross your boundaries with negative energy, right? That encroach on you with negative thoughts and negative ideas, and you're supposed to sit there and take it, right? No, no, you're not. You got your boundaries. You want positive people in your life. You want positive energy. And you just cut it off. No, say something positive. I'd like to hear something really positive. You know, what do you appreciate? What do you appreciate about life? What are the little things that you... Okay, let's get back to the last point here. How much time do I have left? I keep looking at this thing going, oh, yeah, I got 10 minutes. So let's do that. We'll do about how to be kind to yourself, a little bit of that. And if anybody wants to call in and talk about any of this or wants to talk to a dead person, we can do that or visit a past life. Or just get an answer to a question from spirit. What's going on? Am I ever going to meet somebody? Am I ever going to do this? Am I ever going to get a job? I love that one. Am I ever going to get a job? Of course you will. But, you know, that's easier said than done sometimes, right? Okay, accept yourself. Everyone has three sides, the good, the bad, and the messy. Accept you're a fallible person, not infallible, like the Pope, right? You're a fallible person. You can make mistakes. Just like everyone else. And you can make mistakes. It's simply a part of being human. Accepting yourself means digging deep and discovering the many facets that make you who you are. In their book, Journalization, in Journalizing to Wake Your Inner Voice, Heal Your Life, and Manifest Your Dreams, author Sandy Gerson features prompts to help readers learn more about themselves. We'll go through this. You can read it. And then if you want to go to Facebook and look this up, that's cool. But we'll read through it real quick. And it's kind of an interesting little self-examination you might want to do sometime. Okay. She suggests answering this prompt in 10 minutes. Oh, get the clock out, right? Next, she suggests writing about who you were years ago, such as when you're at certain ages. She said 8, 16, 25, 42, 62, whatever it is, whatever ages, groups of ages. She writes, who were you then? What kind of person were you at 8 or 20 or 40 or whatever age you are, 30? Describe the differences between who you were and who you are becoming. So how have you changed over the years? What's the difference in you as a person? How will the coming months and years transform your life? Think about that. How will it? How do you want to change? Or how are you changing? What direction are you going? Are you becoming more compassionate? Are you becoming more patient? Or you'd be getting ruder as you get older, right? You know, some people get ruder as they get older. I hope not. Then describe the who that has always been. What is the person's vision of your – what is that person's vision of your life? And the way she writes this, and she gets to it eventually, but just think about your soul. What is your soul about? What is that person, that soul, that inner being? What is that vision of life? How has she or he guided you, that inner being? Have you been listening or have you been living on autopilot? When was the last time you checked into your inner you, the inner being, the soul that is always there? Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one for meditation, isn't it? Meditating and checking into that part of yourself that's eternal. Accepting yourself also means celebrating your great qualities. Identify your top 10 fantastic characteristics. So write them down. What are your top 10 fantastic characteristics? Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Are you creative? Are you generous? Are you humble? What, you know, like lots of them, right? Like, I'm just throwing those off the top of my head. Are you curious? Are you adventurous? And then put them on paper. Don't shy away from praising your personal strengths. Yeah, like mine, like one of my top 10 would be my ability to discern or understand other people. I can really get a sense of other people. It's that claircognizance thing. I would say that's one of my top 5 or 3 or 4 things, is that ability to know people and know about people that I shouldn't know anything about. And the fact that I'm a channel, the fact that spirit communicates to me, I don't know if that's a characteristic or whatever you'd call it, but I appreciate that a lot. So be your own cheerleader. Ask others what they think your nice qualities are. Ooh, be careful with that one, right? And when you think of more, just add them to the list. And when you get down on yourself, return to this list. That's a good list to keep around. You know, even on the mirror list in the morning, you can look at your goal. Yeah, I'm a really compassionate person. I'm really a kind person. I'm really energetic. I'm really, really good at this. I'm really, really good at that. I'm really good at whatever it is. Or I'm very creative, right? I'm a good communicator. Whatever it is. Have that list handy. So when you're getting down, you can look at yourself and go, yeah. Self-love is a series of daily steps and choices. It's carving out time for self-care. It's extending a kind gesture when you need it most. It's showing others the best way to treat you. Ooh, isn't that a good one? Showing others the best way. How do you want to be treated by others? Think about that one. That's a big one. How do you want to be treated by others? Do you want them to be gentle and kind? Or do you take it a little rough, right? You could tell it like it is. You could slap me in the face. Or, got to break it to me softly. I don't want to be like rudely or startled, right? It's turning a mistake into a lesson or an opportunity, not a marathon of self-mockery. Self-love is the realization that you're genuinely good person who deserves genuinely good things. Wow, do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a good person? So what is your belief system? We get back to that word belief system, that concept of belief systems. Ask yourself these questions. What is my belief system about myself? Do I deserve good things? Genuinely believe I deserve good things? Some people would say, I don't know. Maybe I don't. And then you got to examine your belief system. And you say, maybe my belief system is not in alignment. Now, the Abraham material would talk about this, and I have about 3 minutes left, so we'll just kind of ramble a little bit and talk about that. And that relationship to your belief system, the Abraham material would say that basically your belief systems is something you developed as an early child or somewhere along the line, but you deserve it all. You deserve good stuff. That the universe wants to provide everything good for you. You're the one that gets in the way of it. We're the ones that resist it. Somewhere in us is that impediment to getting what we want in life. What is that? What is that resistance? I call it like the garden hose. How are you pinching that garden hose? What's pinching that garden hose from getting all the good things that you want in life, right? What is pinching you from getting all that you want in life? The relationships, the money, the creativity, the recognition, the success, whatever you put a label on it, and discovering that belief and changing it. Now, I help people do that. That's maybe just a little plug, a little commercial. I'd love to help people do this. I'd love to help people let spirit work through me to help you to discover those beliefs and change them. Now, I do it through meditation. There's different ways of doing it. That claircognizance comes into play of reading you and go, yeah, maybe this is what's going on. What do you think about this that's going on with you? This is what's limiting you from being who you need to be, right? Does this limit you from being who you really want to be? Was that what's pinching your garden hold? Is that what's holding you back from that flow of good from all of the universe? So I enjoyed this show. I wish there would have been more callers, but at least I got to go on and on about these articles and talk to you a little bit about living a 100% life instead of an 80% life, right? So it comes back to that. Are we living focused on what we do, what we're doing, living it with passion, living it at 100%. Are we studying that grilled cheese sandwich with such intensity to make it absolutely the perfect, the greatest grilled cheese sandwich ever made? And if we're doing that in our life, then we're going to be recognized for making the greatest grilled cheese sandwich ever, or the cleanest floors ever, or the cleanest and the greatest taxi cab in the city of wherever we're at, but the greatest slicer of watermelons ever, because we have that passion to do that. We're intensity. We focus on it. We believe in our gifts and talents, and we're living 100%. Not 80, not 70, not even 94. Are you living 100%? That's a tough one to answer. Sometimes you go, no. So thank you for listening. I love you guys. I really do. I'll be back on Monday. We'll do this again. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Usually don't know it till the morning. Bye.